sharing some information about various countries that are either restricted or hostile. And this is from the Voice of Martyr Ministry. And we have sheets that we pass out about various countries. And when I knew that we were going to be having a Christmas theme tonight, I thought, well, maybe I won't do that. We'll wait till next week when we have the usual prayer meeting format. Then I got to thinking, you know, tonight's country is Uganda, and all of the ones that came before, they're not able to observe Christmas like we are. They do not have the privilege, the freedom, like we have to be able to observe Christmas. So I'm going to ask if Luke and Dustin would come and pass them out, please. And as we read them, not just tonight, but any time that we would read about these countries, we once again ought to thank our God, and I know we do, but we need to thank our God for the freedom we have, wherein we can assemble as we are, publicly, openly, in a building designated for us. Most of these countries that we've been receiving information on, either hostile or restricted, meaning their government is either hostile toward them or it restricts them, the Christians. And we don't have that. We have freedom. Now, I know there's always, we seem we want to add to it, at least for now. But I'm not going to do that tonight. I want to focus on the fact that we have freedom. And we ought to be grateful and thankful for that. We can be positive about that. We do not have to be negative about it because of what might come.
That's good.
Reality is reality, and I know and I understand that. So as you take this and you read it, if they observe Christmas in any sort, it's going to be privately, individually. And so I'm grateful that we have been born into these United States of America. And so God is good to us. The unique star is what I said we would be preaching on tonight. Almost every Christmas season, an article appears in some religious magazine, daily newspaper, or other piece of literature, on the radio. Now we can add to it on websites, okay, various social media, raising the question and sometimes purporting answers about the star that led the wise men that we just sang about and sang of in the first Noel. I have an article here from years ago, actually, but the age of it doesn't matter. It explains just what is true. Astronomers explore theories to explain the star of Bethlehem. Most of us assume that the Christmas star was an extraordinary sight to behold. It may not have been so spectacular. So says the skeptic. And perhaps what the wise men saw was not really a single star at all. One theory holds that the Christmas star was a comet. Another theory has it that the star may have been an unusually bright meteor called a fireball. The third and more tenable explanation is that the star of Bethlehem was a nova, which means literally new star. But actually, novas are not new, but old stars that have reached the end of their evolution and have become unstable. The theory that most widely is accepted by astronomers today was put forth in the 1600s by a German astronomer named Johannes Kepler. Kepler suggested that the Christmas star was really a conjunction of three planets. Well, while triple conjunctions may be the most widely accepted theory, it is unlikely that we will ever know for certain what produced the Christmas star. Oh, now wait a minute. I take objection to the writer of this article. He thinks that we may never know. But we already know. It has already been provided, the source of this star. The visit of the shepherds to Bethlehem's stable took place at least 1 year, probably two, before the wise men's visit. Luke's gospel makes no reference to the star, but as we read in Matthew chapter 2, it records extensively about the wise men and about the star. And I want to call your attention to several marvelous things about the guiding star that show to us why it could not have been a conjunction of planets. Meteors move far too fast. Okay. Comets the same way. No, none of these can explain what the Bible has already explained to us, that God provided a star. First, consider that the star was seen from the east, and its position was such as it enabled the wise men to follow it. Now that's important. We'll talk about that again. All right, Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2. When the wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, in Jerusalem they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" They expected the people, common people of the streets and the marketplaces, to know where their king would be. "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we're come to worship him." Who were the wise men? Jews? Possibly. It's not specifically stated. They are usually considered to be magi from Persia. Doesn't mean they couldn't be Jews. And I'll get into that a little bit too. To be sure, they were knowledgeable of Jewish prophecy. Daniel, Mordecai, and Esther. Let's turn to Esther, all right? Esther chapter 8. And verse 17, for we see here where these men could have been Jews. "And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came to the Jews, they had joy and gladness." This was when the command to kill all the Jews was lifted. Okay, and so naturally every one of the Jews in all of the provinces rejoiced. "And the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day." Now watch it. "And many of the people of the land became Jews." They may have been magi, wise men from the east, but many in the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. All right. They saw his star. His star. Well, let's look at Numbers chapter 24. Because Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17 tells an interesting thing regarding this phrase, "We have come to follow him." They saw his star. Verse 17, where we see another reference of that same sort. "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob. And a scepter shall rise out of Israel and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheph. But that phrase, and there shall come a star out of Jacob. Just interesting. Now one would have to study the whole context of that Numbers 24:17 passage. But this, the on the surface similarity lets us know that these wise men from the east, when they came to worship, they said, "We have seen his star." It was a personal thing. It was not something that was unconnected to the man we call Jesus the Christ. Now, let me proclaim that these were astronomers, these wise men. They were not astrologers. Skeptic and unbelievers will identify them as astrologers. No, they were astronomers. That's why they saw the star. They studied the heavens. That's what astronomers do today. Astrologers tell fortune. And they use, yes, the heavens and tarot cards and everything else to tell fortunes. Astrologers and astronomers are not the same. Only the beginning, astro part. Okay? Just remember that. Secondly, that star led the wise men. That's commonly known and accepted. Consider where it first led them. It first led them to where? Jerusalem. Because they expected the king of the Jews to be born in a place where is the center of Jews, of Israel, Jerusalem. And that's why the capital was moved to Jerusalem, the U.S. Embassy, not the capital. Boy, I'd like it to be the capital. But anyway, the U.S. Embassy was moved there. Why? Because it's the center of the Jews. And there's a lot of people who didn't like that. But that's all right. It still happened. I want you to see also that the Magi first questioned the average citizen. They came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" Marketplaces, maybe they went to synagogues, just stopped people on the street, but they just talked to the common man to try and find out where this Jesus was. Herod also asked about the birth of the King of the Jews when he called the wise men. Look at verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, he didn't want everybody to know. This was a privately done thing. He called them. He wanted to know what the wise men. He inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. When was it you began to see this star? Because he knew they didn't travel in 2 days, okay? So he wanted to know, when did you first see this star? Now, their understanding, until the angel told them different, is that he was just wanting to know, and we'll get into this again too, he just wanted to know so he could go and worship him himself. Liar, deceiver is what he was, but God was on to him and protected the wise men and, of course, the Christ child. And so when Herod privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And you see in verse 6 is where we learn that when Herod got all of the priests, chief priests, verse 4, and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them. He didn't ask, "Oh, by the way, would you tell me?" He demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, now, do you notice this in verse 5? Or do you see it? Or are you just hearing me? Do you see it? And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, why was it they said it was in Bethlehem of Judea? For thus it is written by the prophet. They could say in Bethlehem of Judea because it was in the prophecy. It was in the prophetic writings. It is written by the prophets. And that you know, sometimes people are so smart they're dumb. And that's the case with a lot of Bible skeptics. Because they say, well, you know, I don't know if they had a written language that far back. Oh, you just read it and you can see it. They had written by the prophets, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Now, Herod was a little concerned about that because he was supposed to be king of that particular area. And it would not look well if another king came along, even if he was considered to be the Christ to the Jews. That would even be worse as far as Herod went politically. So Herod inquired. Such an inquiry by the wise men caused quite a stir. Look at verse 3. So when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. I guess he didn't want another king coming up. I just explained that. When Herod heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him.
Right.
He wasn't just troubled because of the political sense. Now you have all of the rest of Jerusalem troubled. Because they knew if there was a man coming along, now he's a baby at this point, but he's going to grow up. And they knew that if he were to claim to be the king, now we're going to have an insurrection starting, and we're going to have real troubles, and Congress is going to have an inquiry about it. Oh, they didn't have a Congress. They were going to have to, they would not be good for all of the Jews because of the pressures it would bring on the Jews by the Romans. So yes, not only was Herod troubled, but so was all of Jerusalem. And so quite a stir there, as verse 3 tells us. And Herod's involvement was instrumental in fulfilling prophecy. All right? Herod's involvement in this was a fulfillment of prophecy. We're still in chapter 2. Look at verse 14. When he arose, he took the young child. This is Joseph now. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and they departed into Egypt. Verse 17. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet. In verse 18. In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and a great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not, they were dead. And that came about because verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, in other words, the wise men didn't come back to him. The wise men were wise men. And therefore, they didn't go back and report to him because the angel warned them. And so they went another way. And Herod was exceeding wroth. I mean, he was hot under the collar. And he sent forth. And this is why in Ramah there was a voice of weeping and lamentation because the children were not, they were killed. And he sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof. Now, here's why he wanted to know when they first saw the star. It sounded like, okay, just a normal inquiry. When did you see this star? Here's why he wanted to know. And Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he diligently inquired of the wise men. He inquired of the wise men so that he knew what age children and under were to be killed. You think that's an afterthought? You think that he just, you know, he was mocked by the wise men. Oh, I'm so mad. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to kill all them kids. No, that decree would have come even if the wise men went back and he went through another facade of interest. And if he had not killed them, because they then would have said they saw this child, though at that point they'd have been candidates for torture if they did not tell him where in Bethlehem this child was. You see, you can't outsmart God. And that's what Herod thought he could do. You cannot outsmart God. God knew what all was happening. So he knew how to direct the wise men to get them there and then to keep them alive and get them back home another way. And God knew how to get Joseph, Mary, and the Christ child out of Israel and down into Egypt to protect them. God is God. Okay? God is God. And you remember that. When you face something that there doesn't seem to be any kind of outcome to, that it all looks bad, there's no way anything good can come out of this, you remember that God is God. And another thing we want to look at, the star was only seen by the wise men. Herod didn't see this star in the sky. He had to call them when they talked about the star. He couldn't go outside. Maybe he did. I don't know. It doesn't say. Maybe he went outside. Look, what star is that? What star are they talking about? All he saw, because they didn't have all of the lights that we have, you know, to wash things out. And so he could look up and he could, which star was it? He didn't know. He didn't see the star. The scribes didn't see it, nor the average person in Jerusalem didn't see it. Verse 7, then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Had any of these scribes or chief priests seen the star, there would have been no need to ask the wise men where it was. By such timing, Herod wanted to determine the baby's age so he could kill the baby. Another thing is that the wise men proceeded to Bethlehem following the directions given by Herod. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Yeah, he'd have had a contingency of soldiers with him, and they'd have all had swords, and the intention would have been that the child could have been killed. But I'm going to say it again. God's smarter than what man thinks. And Herod thought that he was in control, but was he? No, indeed, he was not in control. The Christ child's location in Bethlehem was not known. And hence, I mean, he knew Bethlehem, but which house was it? Apparently they didn't know about house-to-house searches. But whatever the case, they went to Bethlehem, and Herod said, go and search diligently. Now Herod said, search. He didn't say, follow the star. Okay? That's not insignificant. The wise men were following a star. Herod was just going on his own abilities. Go search and find him. And then according to verse 10, the star reappeared to the wise men. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They were excited about seeing the star again. Verse 9 says, and when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, that's not L-O-W, doesn't mean L-O-W. Okay? When it says, lo, that means suddenly the star reappeared. They went outside. They saw the star. Do you remember when Saul was on his way to Damascus to kill everybody? Only he saw the angel. The others heard some things, but they didn't see what he saw. Nobody else saw the star, but the ones that God wanted to see the star, and that was the wise men. And when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Consider that the star apparently changed directions. Previously, it led the wise men from the east to the west, to Jerusalem. Now it goes south to Bethlehem. The star was a moving object which went before them. It moved, it stopped, it disappeared, because it says they went out and then they saw it again and they were so happy they saw it. Did they go out and look in the directions where it last was? And then there it is again. Or was it the sort of thing they went out and as they looked up, there it was? Doesn't this give us that detail. But it was not fixed. It was something that moved, because it says they followed the star. It was not a light of an indefinite distance in the sky like the stars are that we look at. But it was close enough to be guiding the men. Think of that. When you say they saw the star in the east, from the east, and then they followed it. It was not a star like we see. How in the world? If you, and I don't know what the distance was. I don't think it was this much. But if you wanted to go from where we are to California, okay, which one of them stars you're going to fix, you know, where you say, ship people, you know, shipmasters and sailors, they traveled by the stars. Yeah, with a sextant. And what they would do was just set their locations. But they didn't follow them to a particular port. This star led them. And in verse 9, it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. And in the middle of verse 9, it says, it went before them. There we are again, leading them, went before them. Where did it go to? Till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they got to that place, what place was that? That's the house where Joseph and Mary were living, where the Christ child was. And they went in and they saw the Christ child. And it says in verse 9, it went before them, comma, till it came and stood over. Till is a word of time. They were following it till. All right, now the following stops. The time of their continued travel stopped. Why? Because they reached their destination. And it stood, which is a word indicating a sudden action. They were following a star, and then it stopped. Now, you notice that when you're following something. Do you ever follow somebody when you're traveling together, two people in a vehicle? One's leading, one's following. And if the one following isn't paying attention, and the one leading stops, what do you have? Whoops. You have an accident. Because there was no accident here. They were intent on following, and it came and it stopped. So this shows us the star. Now, don't miss this. The star was under an outside control.
Yes, sir.
It was not fixed in the heavens.
Yes, sir.
It appeared, and then it moved, leading them to Jerusalem. Then it stopped. And then when they came out, it was there again, and it led them. And then it stopped. This is a moving and stopping object. And the word that says stood carries the idea of it. It was caused to stand. It was moving and it stopped because it was now standing over, fixed over the object, the goal, the baby king of the Jews. God directly controlled this star. And you have all these brilliant dumb people who try to explain the star. Every year you'll find it. Every year you'll hear about them. And if you don't believe me, just go to NPR. Look it up. There's bound to be at least one article there. Okay? You know, if you do research, whether you Google or you DuckDuckGo or whether you start page or whether you whatever search engine you look, just look it up. Explanations of the Bible story of the star or the explanations of the wise men and the star. What was the star? Oh, you'll get an earful for sure. God directly controlled this star. Low enough and slow enough to guide precisely to a particular house. The scripture says it in verse 9, stood over where the young child was. And then the rest of the story, they went in, they presented gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. You say, what if they didn't get the right child? The star led them to the right child. The star stood over where the child was. It said that in verse 9. Do you see verse 9, what it says? Came and stood over where the young child was. It was no mistake. Couldn't be a mistake because God led them. Now, he could have chosen some other way to lead them for sure. He could have sent an angel, okay? They look like men. They don't have wings, okay? Those are cherubim. But he could have sent an angel an angel, you know, in man form. As far as they knew, they'd have been following a man. And they could have said, you know, we're here to lead you to the Christ child. Get us a camel and we'll ride with you. Okay? They could have done that. There's other ways. He chose this way. It shows that God was in control. Putting the pieces together, as I've shared them in this message, we see that the object of the wise men and what they followed was not of any currently known celestial explanation. Comets, meteors, novas, conjunctions of planets, none of these could fulfill the description that's given by Matthew. Now, either we believe the Bible or we don't. You say, well, I'm not quite sure. All right, now you mark it up. There you got one point you're not sure of in the Bible. Now I say you mark it up because if you're gonna doubt this story, you're gonna come along and there's gonna be some other story.
Right.
You're gonna doubt. Well, then you gotta mark up a second one you're not sure of. Then you get into the Old Testament. Boy, they got some real events happening in the Old Testament, let me tell you. How about that guy named Daniel? Huh? And he gets thrown in this den of lions. Everybody else who gets thrown in the den of lions, they don't even hit the ground. The lions are kept so hungry that in the air, the lions grab this man. Now, we're not talking two lions, three lions. We're talking at least a dozen lions. That guy that gets thrown in the lion's den does, and this is the way it worked. Read it. They didn't even hit the ground before the lions had him torn apart. You have a hard time believing that Daniel could be put in there and the lions' mouths were shut and didn't even bother him? You have a hard time believing that one? All right, number three.
All right, brother.
Okay. And then how about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? those three Jewish young men, and they were going to serve their God, didn't matter what the king said. And so he said, we're going to throw you in a fiery furnace. And they said, well, if we die, we die, but we're going to serve God. And they came out, and there was not even a smell of smoke on their clothing. Oh, boy, that's a real whopper you got there, preacher. Number four. How many of these do you have before you begin to admit you don't believe the book? How about that one about the man raised from the dead? Woo-wee, that's got to be a biggie. No, I don't mean Mary Martha's brother. I mean Jesus. Do you really believe in the resurrection of Jesus? Do you really believe he rose from the dead? Or is it just part of your Christian upbringing and the culture that you have because you go to an evangelical church? You know, if you went to a non-evangelical church, a literal liberal church, you wouldn't have to believe in the resurrection to be considered a Christian. You see, every time you've got something you don't believe, it's going to lead you to the point of the birth and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you can't accept these other things said by Jesus, by God in the Bible, you're not going to accept the things that Jesus tells us about himself. What was the star? In light of what we've looked at tonight, to me, it's very simple. It was an obviously special creation, a heavenly body, of star-like character. You say, well, then why didn't they call it something else? What would you call something you never saw before? Huh? What would you call? What were they supposed to call it? They never saw anything like this. It didn't come with a label. But it apparently had star-like qualities that caused them to say star. We know it's star because that's what Matthew 2 says. But you see, we're reading after the effect, after the fact. The wise men, when we're reading what happened, they didn't know what we know. And so they're looking at this special creation, and it's got some kind of star-like qualities to it. And said, we have seen his star in the east. That's what the star was.
Amen.
It was none of these other weirdly imagined objects. Father in heaven, thank you for what you've given us. Thank you for the understanding that you've given to us of it. And even as we sing our much loved and favorite Christmas carol, favorite of many, Silent Night, Holy Night, we know that it was a holy night, a holy time, a holy day.